Meanwhile, at its recent annual meeting, the oil giant Chevron was once again pressured by nearly a third of its shareholders regarding widespread contamination of water and soil in Ecuador that dates back to the 1960s. Texaco drilled in Ecuador, then later merged with Chevron. After more than 20 years of litigation, the combined company has been ordered to pay $19 billion in damages. Chevron claims it has been unfairly treated and has refused to pay. So the plaintiffs are going after Chevron assets in other countries, including Argentina. Juan Pablo Sáenz is an Ecuadorian lawyer for the plaintiffs. He says the area contaminated by the drilling decades ago is still unsafe and unpleasant for people living there.
Well, it smells just like a gas station. Previously, where you would have rivers and lakes where indigenous groups would fish, now they're devoid of any animal life. These indigenous groups are now, they need to eat like canned tuna and stuff like that. There's this thing that oil companies used to do. They used to pour oil on the dirt roads. So I don't know exactly what their justification for that is. And it's these roads that people would have to work back and forth to work every day. And you hear stories all the time. They were walking those roads with their flip-flops, and they would get stuck to the road. So they would have to walk barefooted. It's just all these little things that paint just as important of how pervasive all this living in this area was and how pervasive the oil problem is to the area.
How large is the area that's affected?
It's contained within two provinces in the northern Ecuadorian Amazon rainforest, about the size of the state of Rhode Island.
And how much oil was spilled there?
Actually, what caused the most damage to the area were about 16 billion gallons of toxic produced water that were pumped directly to the waterways and that were pumped directly to the rivers. Also, you have there about 1,000 open-air pits. They just dug them directly into the soil with no lining. So actually, there were ways all these contaminants managed to flow into nature and from them into animals and then into human beings.
Now, the residents in the area say they have a lot of health problems associated with living with the toxicity of the oil-related water pollution. Tell me about that, please.
That's probably the hardest part about all this. It's just the human suffering. You get cancer rates that are 150% higher than one would expect from this sort of environment. There's a lot of child leukemia. There's a lot of ovary cancers and general reproductive health problems for women, miscarriages. And this is made worse because these people have no access to real health care. They don't even have answer to clean drinking water, you know?
How did this area get to be so polluted? I mean, drilling for oil can result in occasional spills, but this sounds far more reaching than a spill or two.
This was designed to pollute. When Texaco, and that's Chevron's predecessor, when Texaco came into Ecuador, they promised that they could extract the cheapest oil barrel in the world. And that's precisely what they did. But how they did that was designing this operation with utter disregard for human life and only considering maximizing economic gains. When they had technology, for instance, to reinject some of these toxics to levels where they wouldn't do any harm to nature or to human life, they just made a cost-benefit analysis and they simply chose not to.
Just remind us of how Chevron got into this case, because it was filed 20 years ago against Texaco.
Sure. Texaco basically merged with Chevron between 2001 and 2002. Basically, what they did was they got merged. At the beginning, it was called Chevron Texaco Company. But once they figured out that didn't good look for Chevron because of Texaco's previous environmental record, they just dropped the Texaco portion altogether. They are hiding behind lots of subsidiaries and lots of complicated structures to try and hide responsibility and to try and hide behind the corporate veil.
So this case has been going on for a long time. Just what exactly happened here?
At first, we filed suit in New York originally in the federal courts in New York. Chevron fought us for 10 years, arguing that it was the Ecuadorian courts that were supposed to handle this case. The court actually agreed to do that, but made them promise that Chevron would abide to any decision coming from Ecuadorian courts. So we go back to Ecuador. We go back to Ecuador because back then Chevron was real chummy and had like a big influence with the government back then. They thought that this would get resolved over a game of golf. So we come back to Ecuador. We spent 10 years litigating. We win the trial. We win on appeals. But not right now, they're refusing to pay. And that forces us to make basically a list of countries where Chevron holds assets because they do not in Ecuador. And right now we're in the process of trying to collect the damages in other jurisdictions.
Have any of these other nations taken action on your request?
Yeah, for instance, in Argentina, we asked there for the assets to be frozen, and they did it. This money that normally flows from Chevron's Argentinian subsidiaries to Chevron's headquarters in the U.S., all that money is set aside in an escrow account.
So what's next in this case?
We will keep on vigorously fighting and defending these actions in Canada and Brazil and Argentina. We will be starting new enforcement actions in other jurisdictions. But what's coming soon, hopefully, is that we will be able to start with the remediation of the Ecuadorian Amazon rainforest, and that cannot happen soon enough.
Juan Pablo Sáenz is an Ecuadorian lawyer in Quito, representing the plaintiffs in the Chevron Texaco case. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve. It was a pleasure.
To hear Chevron's side of the story, we called up Jim Craig. He's a media advisor for the Chevron Corporation.
The plaintiff's lawyers in the case bribed, defrauded, and colluded their way to a $19 billion judgment against Chevron in Ecuador. And there's no reason why one would have to accept a judgment based on this sort of corruption and wrongdoing.
What about the substance of the disagreement here? In your view, is Texaco responsible in any way for the pollution that has been observed in the area in question?
No. Any pollution or contamination that may exist today is not the responsibility of Texaco. Texaco did a complete remediation in the 1990s. It received a release from the Ecuadorian government and the Ecuadorian state oil company, Petroecuador, which was Texaco's majority partner at the time. The company that didn't do their share of remediation was Petroecuador. Petroecuador agreed to and had an obligation to, under contract and the law, to remediate its two-thirds share of any impacted sites. They didn't do so for almost two decades. They've operated exclusively for 23 years with what everyone agrees is an abysmal environmental record. So if there's any contamination today in the Amazon of Ecuador, it's the responsibility of Petroecuador.
Okay. So you agree then that there was a whole lot of pollution in that area?
I didn't say that.
Well, do you say that there wasn't pollution in that area?
There were identified a certain number of sites that needed remediation, but there isn't the massive contamination that the plaintiffs have continually insisted that there is. Texaco had an obligation to remediate its one-third share of those sites. Those were identified in an audit and were the basis of the agreement which required Texaco to conduct its remediation.
Has Texaco ever paid any damages to the communities that were the subject of its remediation activities?
Yes, it did. It conducted a remediation program for $40 million, which included several million dollars to settle claims by the same communities that the plaintiff's lawyers claim to represent today.
So Chevron paid how much to the communities?
Again, it wasn't Chevron. It was Texaco. It was $6 or $7 million, I believe.
So your response to the people there that have health concerns, cancer, miscarriages, and such, is that take it up with Petroecuador.
Well, look, I can say something about the health claims that you just mentioned. Official statistics show that the cancer mortality rates in the oil-producing region of the Amazon are actually lower than both the capital of Quito and the non-oil-producing areas of the Amazon. You know, we have a lot of reason to believe that these supposed cancer claims are false. So, again, if people really have claims to bring, they ought to bring them to the only company that's responsible today for any problems that might exist in that region, and that's Petroecuador.
James Craig is a spokesman for Chevron. Thank you so much for taking the time, Jim.
Sure thing.
Coming up, cleanup efforts pay off, at least for some of America's once filthy rivers. That's just ahead here on Living on Earth.